David started driving. They didn't speak. The moon cast the world with a beautiful light, and David was aware of Paul sitting beside him, aware of his soft breathing and his hands lying still in his lap, aware that he was staring out the window at the silent lawns they passed.
"You were really good tonight. I was impressed."
"Thanks."
They drove 2 blocks in silence.
"So, your mother says you want to go to Juilliard."
"Maybe."
"You're good," David said. "You're good at so much, Paul. You'll have a lot of choices in your life, a lot of directions you can go. You could be anything."
"I like music," Paul said. "It makes me feel alive. I guess I don't expect you to understand that."
"I understand it," David said. "But there's being alive, and there's making a living."
"Right, exactly."
"You can talk like this because you've never wanted for a thing," David said. "That's a luxury you don't understand."
They were close to home now, but David turned in the opposite direction. He wanted to stay with Paul in the car, driving through the moonlit world where this conversation, however strained and awkward, was possible.
"You and Mom,"
Paul said, his words bursting out as if he'd been holding them back a long time.
"What's wrong with you, anyway? You live like you don't care about anything. You don't have any joy. You just get through the days no matter what. You don't even give a damn about that Howard guy."
So he did know.
"I give a damn," David said. "But things are complicated, Paul. I'm not going to talk about this with you now or ever. There's a lot you don't understand."
Paul didn't speak. David stopped at a traffic signal. There were no other cars around, and they sat in silence, waiting for the light to change.
"Let's stay focused here," David said at last. "You don't need to worry about your mother and me. That's not your job. Your job is to find your way in the world, to use all your many gifts. And it can't all be for yourself. You have to give something back. That's why I do that clinic work."
"I love music," Paul said softly. "When I play, I feel like I'm doing that, giving something back."
"And you are. But Paul, what if you have it in you to discover, say, another element in the universe? What if you could discover the cure for some rare and awful disease?"
"Your dreams," Paul said. "Yours, not mine."
David was silent, realizing that once, indeed, those had been exactly his dreams. He'd set out to fix the world, to change it and shape it. And instead, he was driving in the flooding moonlight with his nearly grown son, and every aspect of his life seemed beyond his grasp.
"Yes," he said, "those were my dreams."
"What if I could be the next Segovia?" Paul asked. "Think of it, Dad. What if I have it in me to do that and I don't try?"
David didn't answer. He'd reached their street again, and this time he turned toward home. They pulled into the driveway, bouncing a little over the uneven edge where it met the street, and stopped in front of the detached garage. David turned off the car, and for a few seconds they sat in silence.